We've got the Mayor, Sam Copeland, in the studio for our usual monthly chat after the council meeting. A bit of a shorter time for us this year.
It is.
And our last for the year. We've got to this point.
I know. It doesn't feel... Well, I can hear cicadas or some sort of beetles outside. So, yeah, getting close to Christmas, aren't we?
We know we're getting close to Christmas. Now, you know I like to start off with a bit of a good news. Well, no, I generally give you a good news one
to start.
And I was going to say that the Curtis Park concerts have been very popular, and I think they're driving a sense of community, and it always seems to me that that's one of the hallmarks or intentions of the current council.
It is. Look, it's all... we need to use the, I guess, the council...
The resources.
Resources, not just the money of council to activate the region, and, you know, that's what councils could and should do if they can. So, yep, really happy. There's a concert on tonight, which will be great. I've got to go to the council Christmas party first, and then I'll come and stick my nose in. It's good to have an excuse to be between events.
And I always have the view, and I don't know that it's shared by all politicians, that budgets and money and expenditure and all of those things are things you do, but ultimately you don't govern a budget. You govern the people. You govern the citizens. That's got to be central. The rest serves that, doesn't it?
Well, I guess really what we have to do is make decisions of the money that we have. Where does it get allocated? So it's really up to the clever people in finance. It does astound me how some councillors believe that they should be the CFO. Probably what... thing I found a bit more exciting is those that believe they're engineers.
Yes, but at all levels of government, Sam, I think.
That's true.
We get that. An update, I think there was going to be an update on, you know, I keep on this case, an update on the New England Weeds Authority provided to council by 11th of December. Did that come
That did. Through? So that came in the day before, and it was really just to, that all four councils agree to wind up the Weeds Authority, and the whole thing is just it's not much. It's just more confirmation of what we already know. There hasn't been... the building out there hasn't sold, so if anybody is after office accommodation for 20 people in a big shed, give Neil Mortimer of the Professionals a call. Boy, does he have a deal for you.
And just really then a reaffirmation of what you and I have spoken about.
Yeah. It's dead. So the other thing was, I think in that, when that report came through, four of the staff will be staying employed by Armidale, and, you know, the other staff will be employed by the other councils, and... I think some documents need to be signed to give the minister, you know, the council's consent to wind the whole thing up.
You and I, during the year, have kept our eye on water security, Malpa Stam and et cetera, pipelines, all the things that are needed to provide the growing city of Armidale with water. Since we last spoke, there was a blue-green algae red alert from Water New South Wales from Malpa Stam. We noted it on air and put something out here, and it did point out that public access for recreational use at Malpa Stam is not recommended until the alert is lifted. Is there much that can be done about this, or is it just...
No, it's a time... It's one of those things. I grew up near Chaffee Dam.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, there's always an algal outbreak this time of year. And there's a recommendation you don't go and splash around in it. There's really... it's part of being living in regional Australia. These things will flare up and down. Our treatment plants can handle it, although the Gyra one's a bit rickety.
As we've discussed.
But
last month, in fact.
Yeah, we can't go and splash around in Malpa Stam as much as we'd like until that goes.
And the water system in all areas is pretty much its draining point in Gyra due to, I guess, lack of renewal and maintenance over many years, and now the two are part of the one LGA.
Yep.
We're halfway through the financial year. We had quite a controversy earlier in the year about the rate increase. Has the rate increase put council in a satisfactory financial position? How would you describe it?
Well, everything's pretty much going to budget or slightly better than budget. So this is the second year of the rate increase. So we were budgeted to stay in a deficit this financial year, and the because of excess spending on asset maintenance. So that was always what was budgeted, that we'll go in, I think, about a $4.3 million deficit because we're going to overspend on road repairs so that down the track we don't have to spend as much. Next year we will go into a surplus. So with the rate increase, it's roughly about an increase of $3.5 million each year over 3 years of revenue that comes in.
So reasonably confident, you're pretty much where you expected to be.
Yeah, we're actually $200,000 better off than where we expected to be.
Now, the active transport strategy, high priority for council, I notice, and you want to encourage, and again, we're talking about the people, which is central, I think, to what you do and the services, service delivery you provide. The active transport strategy is the idea that we encourage people to walk and cycle and exercise throughout the OGA, and we're in early days for this project, but can you give us a hint as to what infrastructure councils might be planning?
it's largely cycleways and footpaths. I can't give you streets, etc.
No, I was just giving a bit of an indication.
It's cycleways and footpaths, and by having that strategy, and we've worked out where things should be and how they should link up. We've consulted the community. There's more feedback to come in. In fact, it'll be a living document. And there was an amendment to what was put up that Councillor Robinson put forward. And she was sort of saying, we'll review it every 2 years. We'll collect data on where, you know, potential crashes of cyclists have occurred, et cetera, et cetera. That said, I think the number of, and this is anecdotal, the number of commuter cyclists is dwarfed by the number of recreational cyclists. So there's not that many commuter cyclists, hell of a lot of recreational cyclists, of which I'm one, and so I just don't think you're going to get crash statistics from the recreational cyclists, because we just go all over the LGA.
I have to say that the cycle path, and it's one of the long-standing ones that takes you from the creekland or the town through to the university, that's one that does get quite a bit of use.
It does get quite a bit of use, but really what this active transport strategy is looking at is, well, how can anyone living within the city limits safely get to town? So, you know, Markham Street, Beardy Street, all of those streets having dedicated cycleways and the like. And so with that strategy, it just means that we can apply for grants, and you might bring it up in your list. We're now going for a second grant that requires co-contributions. This is what I've been saying for ages, that we won't get a grant unless you make a co-contribution.
We know that.
We know that.
As a community radio station.
yeah, of course. So there's more of those opportunities, and I suspect the same will happen with the active transport strategy. Also, in that particular motion was to examine putting aside $300,000 per year for the next 4 years in those budgets to implement elements of that active transport strategy.
And we know, because all the data proves it, that you get better health outcomes in a community when people are exercising and cycling and walking and doing those things. So if council can encourage or provide the infrastructure to support that, then health incomes improve, and that again saves money, doesn't it?
Not
for council so much, but
in
other areas of society.
Society does, yeah.
And it's a very valuable thing.
I think it also, you know, council can hang its hat on. It does improve the amenity. If people have options, that's a great thing.
And it does tie into the fairly serious chat we had about the current state of the rail trails, cycleways and walking ways last month. I actually, after we spoke, I called and talked to the media person at NEMA who about dates, what date and what advice and when the knowledge that the money was not forthcoming for the rail trail was given. They were very, very defensive and didn't really want to talk.
So they should be.
In fact, and I'm not direct quoting here, but like, we don't put a press release. We don't advise everyone about everything. That's not our job. We just it was very, very strange. And the reason I called was because, and you and I talked about it, Mr. Gamage and others were suggesting various conspiracy theories and other things, and it seemed to me that the date, and I was just trying to get clarity and get an understanding of the whole thing, and you gave us a timeline, put that on record. It seemed to me that if the date that the information came through to council was prior to council passing its delegation onto the CEO, then making that announcement was the responsibility of council. If that information came through after the delegation to the CEO, and I'm talking about
during caretaker
period for the election, then it was the CEO's responsibility. And I also saw some commentary, and I mean, there's a lot of commentary scuttled about, some accurate, some not, around everything in Armidale and other places. Then that there was a linkage made by a couple of people that was in some way related to the resignation of the CEO. I'm not suggesting it was the case. I'm just reporting what I saw.
Well, the CEO's agreed to stay on for another five-ish months until we bed someone down. No, that comment is a result of an overactive imagination. The other thing that's probably worth bearing in mind is when you receive information from the government, and if it's not favourable, you don't just go straight to the community and say, we've got some unfavourable information. You go back and you prosecute it. You try and pick it apart. You lobby. That's what good managers and good officers will do. They just won't give up. So it wasn't until they'd exhausted every avenue, which, as I understand, it's a number of quite a few weeks later, once the new council had been sworn in.
I've been a media advisor for a couple of people in state parliament.
That's all right.
I know how it's done. Yeah.
Look, some of the local conspiracy theorists. Look, it motivates them. So happy days, keep it coming.
The general pattern in this area is if you get good news, you get it out as quickly as possible, you trumpet it from the rooftops, everybody know. And if it's bad news, you see if you can mitigate it. And you try to find a way, whether that's the right or the wrong thing to do in terms of transparency is another matter. But that's the way the process works.
It is exactly that. If it's good news, you want to say it straight away so it can't be taken off you.
And somebody else will always be trying to claim the responsibility for it, won't they, for good news. Good news has got a lot of friends, actually. That's one of the sayings that's made, of course. Something that interested me, because it's a beautiful building, certainly from the outside, I know there are issues in the interiors, but we're finally going to see plans through the old courthouse area and the courtyard through there. Council's not in a position yet financially to undertake all the works that might be needed. You have tried to find a tenant who, at times, I was told by one organisation they were talking to you about it, and I see that you're interested in reopening that pathway through to Moore Street from the mall on the western side of the building.
That's right. So that's what this is about. There's two things in that particular motion. The first one is the concept design for what it will look like when that's opened up. So pavings, plantings, and a whole bunch of other things between the mall and Moore Street. And that'll be a good look. That'll open really, really be great. And I encourage people to have a look at that. The second part of that particular motion was to apply for every 2 years some grants come up to a maximum of $300,000 for restoration or preservation of historic areas, and we're confident we'll put in for that. The opening up the two areas and doing all the necessary landscaping, painting, etc. is about $700,000, so council will chip in $400,000 to activate that region. That money is going to come from what are called the developer contribution. So we've got a couple of $1 million sitting there for that. That was the same reserve that the expansion of Curtis Park was coming from. I think we were tipping in $600,000 or $700,000 there as well. So this is about you know, because that was with a co-contribution for a grant, funnily enough. So, you know, as long as I continue to be mayor, and when we talk about grants, you'll find that council's always going to have to chip in. Nothing will be 100% grant funded.
One of the... Well, two questions, really. Is there any thought when you rework the exterior and the courtyard and the surrounding of that building to tie that in with the stage that you have there? No. I mean, you've got the beautiful old post office building. Mm. You've got the stage. You've got that building. I mean, there's a possibility for the integration, I guess, historically, of all of that side.
Quite possibly, Paul. Have a look at the... I'm not sure what you mean by the integration.
Oh, there you go. You see, so I'm thinking from a visual perspective.
No, I'm an economist and an accountant, so...
The other problem with that building, of course, and I don't know what the regulations are in terms of heritage responsibilities for council, but a lot of the rooms in that building are very, very small, and they do make it difficult for... repurposing and reworking and perhaps finding a tenant or for whatever may be imagined. Look, the exterior is going to be fine. I think
exterior will be fine. I actually went through it this morning again. You're exactly right. There's a lot of little pokey rooms because it's a heritage building. It's not just on the building itself. It's also some of the interiors, not just the interior walls. So the magistrate's bench and things like that can't be taken out to the tip.
So watch the space. But going back to what you were saying earlier, this is going to be, planning's going to be, or a plan is going to be on display at council. If
people, it's already on display.
Is it? So people can go if they're
interested. Yeah, and I think it looks really good. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's fantastic. Now, you've been talking a lot about grants,
yes.
Sam. And so a potential conflict of interest declaration to ARM needs to thank council. We're one of the organisations that had our grant application for funding approved, and our network infrastructure upgrade, stage one, grant for $1,178 was approved. And this is important to us because the more media goes online and is digitised, the greater strain on our existing infrastructure and cabling, and you know, we don't get into deals, Cat 3, Cat 4, Cat 5, Cat, all of that sort of thing. Yep. So thank you to council. We got money for our stage one, and we'll be putting the stage two in application next year, and we're very, very grateful.
And that's what those small community grants are, exactly the sort of thing they should be for. So the total in this round is $50,000. And depending on what it was, it could be up to a maximum of $2,000 or $5,000. So, I'm thrilled. When I saw that you're on the list,
great. It's actually going to provide us stability in continuing to put our programs to air, because we're putting more and more strain on our cabling and on our what are called switches and our routers and all of that sort of thing. And I did notice with a smile that the Dolly Parton Library Imagination Project got some money.
I did see that.
And that's a very good initiative around the world. One of her charitable practices is to provide books for young people and disadvantaged communities. Not that we are, but not entirely, but it provides books and access to reading materials around the world. So it's a very good initiative as well. And can I also mention two things here? We like the fact that council has changed to the Smarty Grants platform. For grant, you won't know about this, but putting a thank you out to whatever of your staff or whoever on your staff did that. It's a platform that makes grant application much, much easier.
This is for the council grants here.
And Community Broadcasting Fund, all sorts of grants. Right. It's a platform that organisations like council can link to, and it provides the infrastructure for grant applications, and it's just a much more user-friendly process than council had, you know, previously. And they're using this infrastructure, which is whoever made that decision, a pat on the back. Another thing that we do with council is that we've now got a synergy between 2A. You won't know this, but it's, again, a pat on the back, because all of these things happen during the year, and we're kind of doing a bit of a review of the year, I guess. We now tell everyone who comes to us for a community service announcement to lodge it on the council website where you take the stuff on.
Yes, yes.
That, because we were duplicating services, that comes through to us, and lovely Rochelle from your comms department once a week comes down and records everything that comes off your
website. Good. I was speaking to her about that last week. So, yes, that's terrific.
So that's something that works very well, and it provides, you know, it's council and community organisations working in tandem, which is good. So I guess where we finish is anything that you'd like to talk about, I guess, that you're particularly proud of. We're doing a wrap of the year, I think. And is there anything that you would point to in council's
probably
activity?
More I'm optimistic really about what 2025 is going to bring. So I think this new term of council, the new composition of the council is a great one. I think we will work really, really well together. You know, all good people at their core, coming at things from slightly different angles.
Variety of skill sets.
Yeah, variety of skill sets, variety of interests. So that's good. The appointment of a new general manager / CEO is going to be a biggie. And we had a meeting with the recruiter yesterday. We had a meeting with the staff and the recruiter so that there was input there. The timeline is that we'll actually be going out to the market on the 16th of January. It's no point going before Christmas. Everyone's head's in a different spot. Tuesdays and Thursdays are the best days to go and do these things, allegedly. I guess on Mondays people are catching up. Fridays their heads are elsewhere. So, yeah, we'll be going out. I think it's Thursday the 16th. There'll be an e-brochure. So there's a fair bit of work to do between now and then.
Mr. Roncombe, you said, has agreed to stay on for
He's agreed to stay on. So that was at the last council. I had some chats with him. So he's agreed to stay for 4 months plus one, plus one, plus one, plus one as needed, which is great.
And that gives you continuity, doesn't it?
Gives us continuity. It's a huge relief for the staff that he's agreed to do that. Also particularly important to have that continuity and his seniority. So rather than ask one of the staff to step up... Or an unknown from outside.
And that means two people that staff have got to get to know rather than just one.
Well, that's it. But one of the senior staff pointed out to me, look, just with the budget process coming up, that continuity, it's going to be very busy for the senior staff. There, if we can maintain that continuity, it'd be great. So I think, so what we'll see, here's the biggies that'll happen next year. We'll have a new CEO/ general manager. We will have made a decision on our water security as to what to do. Are we doing water security properly, or are we doing water security sorta, saying it's water security but it's not, or are we going to do nothing? So we need, the council need to provide really the staff and to an extent me direction as to what we're going out and asking for. So that'll be a biggie coming in next year, that decision. The future fund will be formalised next year. That's going to be a biggie. I anticipate that there'll be a wedge of rail trail funding will turn up next year. So that'll be another big announcement as well. But as a group of councillors, we have we're having a meeting on Monday where we're talking about, and this is part of the very first mayoral minute I put up this term, what are the specific items that we want put in the delivery plan of council for this next this term or the next 4 years. So what can actually feasibly go in, what's in the never never, what's down the track, etc., etc. So that'll be a bit of a watch this space.
And you did flag last month that the NEMA funding for the rail trail may have gone, but that's not the end of the rail trail. You have alternative funding proposals out.
Yeah, there's one application in, and there's a few other sources as well.
Mm. Yeah. And that also ties in, as I said, with the active...
Very much, actually. It does tie in with the active transport strategy, but the active transport strategy, as it relates to the CBD, envisages using about 3 kilometres of the rail trail.
Does it? And I do not still understand why someone somewhere wouldn't have thought that the two rail trails, the Seven Council one and our one, shouldn't at some stage meet, because obviously the rail embankment joins.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, no, they're always going. The plan, if you look at the New England Rail Trail plan, that entire 103 kilometres should be there, but it's just a matter of
funding the two sections.
Funding the two sections. We have a... It's a currently an action of council. It could change that council is not to spend any of its own money on the rail trail.
Indeed.
There we go.
Look, thank you so much for coming in during the year. We're very grateful, and I think it works for both. I think it's great for us to have you in. I think it works for people. We know that we get a lot of hits on your on this interview when it's podcast, and so we have something that works well together. I wish you and your family, and I guess all your staff, a Merry Christmas and a good break and a bit of a rest and a sleep between now and next time. And I think the next council meeting is in February.
It is. There is a chance we'd do an early one, but only if something really urgent popped up. We'd have an extraordinary meeting. But no, I reckon I'll be officially seeing you or sitting in the studio seeing you, towards the end of February.
Again, thank you so much. And I've been speaking with Sam Copeland, Mayor of Armidale Local Armidale Government Area.
Yeah.
And we'll do it again next year.
Terrific. Thanks, Paul.
Cheers.